Oh yeah, which entities does Rai call upon?
Entities I call upon. Okay. Right now, I am talking to my quantum self 1 year in ahead of me. You understand? So the one I'm talking most with lives right now at the end of 2020, and I'm asking advice to follow his footsteps. Beyond that quantum self is the higher self. The higher self is the spirit essence that we all are. So, but the main one is my coach, is my quantum self 1 year ahead. Okay?
Thank you. Mother Earth has a conscience. I think she maybe means a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't she do something to scold us for the harm we're inflicting on her?
Oh my God, she's
doing
so much.
I think she is, isn't she? Oh, she's already scolding big time.
We will see tsunamis, earthquakes, a lot of stuff.
Is the main reason why I personally disagree with, I don't know, there was some number being mentioned yesterday about how many people will be on this planet in 20 years. I think not. I think there will be less because Mother Earth is reacting big time and we're killing her. So it's happening. I think.
Yeah, so there is a lot of stuff happening. If for example, we're living in Florida, hurricanes, more hurricanes is coming. The weather patterns are changing. We were in Asheville. We had a scare. Was it this year? This huge hurricane coming over North and South Carolina, flooding the whole place like never before. Crazy stuff happening. So Mother Earth is reacting, trust us. And she's going to react even stronger in ways that we will get to know. That's what I was talking about, that we still didn't hit the bottom yet. We have to go lower before we can go up. Mm. And that's partially what Mother Earth is doing.
And that's why we feel so passionate about teaching you everything we teach, because we know that whenever that happens, which we all don't know when, we want to make sure that you all have tools to stay in your power when there is distress, when there is chaos.
When people are panicking.
And they will need people like you to be maybe that only one who's not losing their mind and still knows what to do. So, yeah. This is a nice one. What would you suggest to heal a knee that is hurting and joints that are hurting? Well, it might seem like a silly question. I want to give you a few answers that I think might help more people. Knees are very often associated with a sense of stubbornness, rigidity.
Willpower.
Ego, willpower. Gotta get this done, right? And I'm not very flexible and going in the flow, so you might want to look at that. Inflammation of the joints, think inflammation. Think your body is inflamed, your body is angry, your body is upset. How can you reduce that inflammation in general? Not just for the joints, but it'll most likely be all over your body. So think healthy foods, think less processed foods, think less dairy, think less wheat.
Sugar,
huge one. I would strongly recommend looking at Omega Healing. Do the course, learn how to help yourself, or get the Omega Healing audios. I slept with those audios for a year. You listen to one audio every month, you program your brain, you kickstart your immune system. I love it. And it's such a simple way. So I would suggest those things to you. And also, the third thing you won't like, whoever you are, keep moving. You've got to keep moving. The moment you stop moving because there's pain and you're going, no, then I'll just keep this all straight and stiff, you're going to get stiffer and stiffer. So that's part of why I love yoga, because it takes you right to that edge and you learn movements that you can do even if you have pain. And I would strongly suggest you look into that as well and find ways that you can move without pain. Swimming maybe, something without a lot of pressure on your joints.
And remember, just we spoke about the breathing. Mm-hmm. So you can bring the golden light to those places where you want healing to happen. Mm-hmm. That's very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. So breathing, stretching, but just the breathing, I am love, I am light, all of that, bring that to the areas that affect it. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most important one. There's one about one of you felt pain in the middle of her waistline during a meditation. Why is that? Why am I feeling sick? It's usually, think of that pot that you're stirring in a workshop like this, or any personal transformational work. You are digging in your unconscious mind. You are releasing stuff that you might have not thought about for a long time. And your body is going to react. It'll react in many different ways. Don't judge those ways. When you feel something coming up, look at it, embrace it, breathe your way through it. Ask for the message. What is it that I need to learn right now? And then you're taking on the learning, and then that crushing feeling around your stomach might be able to go too. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and just remember, when you look at the brain waves, what is happening is you're lowering the brain waves, which means also you're opening up the subconscious mind. So a lot of things that are suppressed may come up. Some people get very emotional during meditation. There's around 20% of people, when they start to meditate, strong emotions come up, or certain parts become painful or sensitive. And that doesn't mean that it's caused by the meditation. It means it was there because of our busy head. It was suppressed, and we did not really were able to connect with it. So my advice, if it comes up, it means that it asks for healing. Mm-hmm. And then you take the breathing, the things you've learned, and bring that to that. Yes?
I agree.
All right, this can go.
Mm-hmm. Buon pomeriggio, sono Liliana. Good afternoon, my name is Liliana. I'd like to know, for the 3 months that it takes to change, during those 3 months, can I do 2 exercises at the same time, or do I have to have just one intention to be able to receive the change?
Tweak a little. The change happens in an instant. Change happens in an instant. But we usually take a long until we finally get to that moment of change. And the 3 months are more about integrating it into your system so it becomes an automatic habit. So that you no longer have to think about it consciously, but it's like brushing your teeth, you just go do it. So about the 2 intentions, what would you like to say?
You're free, it's for free.
What do you mean? I'm free?
You can set 1,000 intentions a day
if
you want.
Okay, thank you.
So the one thing I would just watch out is not to combine in one sentence too many things. Mm. So to keep the focus on, let's say, my intention is to be in my power today. That's one. You finish that. And then you can set a second intention. I want to stay self-aware today. So you're programming your mind by using your intentions. But it's not like you can only do one intention. Do you understand what I'm saying? I like to make it like a movie, something that makes sense, that flows together. Then it's like one intention, but it's part of a bigger movie. Mm. So you can do it in different ways. But there are no golden rules, except that you want to be totally in that feeling and seeing and feeling it, not like mental. If you do it mentally, it's not powerful. But if you can feel it and visualize it and you know what you're creating, that's creation, and that's very, very powerful. Does it make sense?
That makes sense. Thank you. Thank you for all the 2 days
of
a wonderful workshop.
Thank you. Let's go in the back.
Ciao, sono sempre Gabriella.
Hello, Gabriella again. I have a question with regard to what we said this morning about happiness. Has it ever happened to you, or has anyone asked you whether once they reach their goal, sorry, I can't think of the words, so once they achieve their goal of attaining happiness, and then they realized when they got there that they were not happy. They had achieved the target, but then they realized that was not really what they wanted. Can it happen? And what changed that person if that happened?
There were a few questions there, but basically it's, can it happen that we reach a goal, something we thought was really necessary for us to be happy, and we reach that goal and then we realize, ooh, that wasn't it. I'm still not happy. Is that possible?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that happen a lot? Yes. Because you see, we've attached happiness to the wrong thing. We thought it was that was going to make us happy. And see where I'm pointing? It's always out there. And that's not happiness. Because remember, the happiness is the set point, the biological set point, plus the condition of life, which is not that huge, but it's there. And then there was one big part that makes a big difference as well. And those are the voluntary actions, the intentional actions I take. And when I take an intentional action, I'm very clear on what I want. It's not, I'm going to do this course to master NLP. I'm actually doing that course, most likely at an unconscious level, to learn a skill to be able to do something else which I believe will make me happy. So that's what we'll dive into at the quantum training, really, is to dissect this happiness and to figure out what is your quotient, right? That is a general one. And I can give you general sort of set points of what will make you happier. Spend more time with friends and family. Take time off work. Make time for yourself. Move more. Eat healthy foods. Practice meditation. Sleep more. Do those 7 things, you will be happier. And they have nothing to do with the outside world. But I think it gets really exciting when we, like we started doing here in this experience, when we start building that puzzle of that quantum lifestyle. Because that is so unique to all and every one of us, because it depends on what skills we have and what we like doing. Does that make sense? So the answer to why don't we feel happy when we've achieved certain goals is because they were most likely goals from the ego. They were not goals that were real heart and soul goals. Think of the moment you got married. Think of your wedding day. You still remember that happiness because it was an experience. We want experiences and not something that's a goal and it's done. It's a goal and it's done. Make sense?
È vero. Sì.
I don't know what you said. Grazie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, just one thought came to mind because I work in China a lot, and in my classes we have a big percentage of millionaires. These are people who have a lot of money. There's so much money they don't know what to do with it. But they feel so miserable, and because they thought that when we reach this amount of wealth, then life was going to be amazing, they're going to be happy and all of that. But that was, like you said beautifully, the ego. Now the soul is yearning for fulfillment that they cannot find with money. And then they come to these workshops in order to find how to really fulfill their soul, not their wallet, which is a big different thing. Which will not mean you have to be poor to be happy, which is totally something different.
Okay.
What do you think about genetic diseases? And is it possible to heal them? If yes, what would you pinpoint on with the golden light?
What would you pinpoint on the golden light?
Okay, the question is too broad. Genetic diseases, you can fill a book full of genetic disease. So it's not, there's not one answer
to blood, something that has to do with a blood disease.
What is it? Blood disease? Disease. Okay, so blood disease also is a whole chapter. I'm just looking at my computer right now. So there's sickle cell and all of those things. So here's what I want to say. Just to be very specific. When we talk about disease, we as humans believe it's something bad. Let's begin with that. Is it? It could be an experience. It could be that the spirit has chosen a specific experience to have because it wants to learn something from it. So my first thing always would be, what is the message of the spirit in this case? Did you understand what I'm saying? And then the next question is, for me as a doctor or therapist, am I the one or is it even possible? And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And as science is improving, as we're learning even more about quantum science, we are also learning more of how to deal with diseases that 20 years ago I would say it's impossible. Did you understand what I'm saying? So it's a learning field, but from the spiritual standpoint of view, the first question is, what does the spirit want with this choice? If we can solve that, we will know is it possible or not. And in our trainings, and this also will happen in our quantum training, at some point we'll teach you a way that you can immediately talk with the highest quantum self and ask the quantum self the questions, What should I do? What's best for this person? And what we've discovered is that sometimes the higher self says, no, I'm not going to heal this person because they're not listening. The higher self can be so ruthless, you have no idea. Do you understand? And sometimes we need to negotiate with the higher self. Just remember, why am I living on light? I have three choices: accident, disease, or 1 year in seclusion. My higher self was not nice. You see what I'm saying? It says, now you're going to change, or else something bad is going to happen. And sometimes disease is the same choice. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense because I know the reason for which it happened, and it happened 3 years ago. So it's a mutation of DNA. But
it would be interesting to look at that.
Yeah, I really thank you a lot because it was a wonderful course. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much. All right, thank you.